to. Ever since I drank out of the water bottle he left on my podium in my classroom that was his, I've been sick too. So we got two that Jalen's got so far. It definitely does sound worse on this side. Although we do believe that it started with somebody on that side, but we're not pointing no fingers at Miss Carol or nothing, but it happens. It's everywhere in Clovis, it's everywhere in anybody's workplaces. It's not one person in particular. All right, for your Bible trivia, my class can't answer this first. If you remember it, you get your chance at last. Other than the sin of rejection of Christ, what is the other unforgiven sin in the Bible? No, ma'am. Don't you do that. Other than the rejection of Christ, what is the other unforgiven sin? Speak against the whole. Well, that's the one that's what the Bible says. That's the same one. Miss Lillian? Well, that's the same one the Bible talks about, against the rejection of Christ, which is against the Holy Spirit. What is the other unforgiven sin? In my class, remember? Yes, Serenity. No, you don't remember. Shame on you. 30 lashings when you get home. Huh? Nope. Nope. Man, y'all's teacher is horrible. I'm about to fire him. Do you remember? The other unforgiven sin is the one that you don't ask forgiveness for. You see, you should have said something, Miss Carol. Don't listen to your granddaughter. She'll lead you astray. That's the one you don't confess. That's right. That's the other unforgiven sin is the one you don't confess. No, it's not, honey. That's not what she said. Words matter. Okay. An evangelist was preaching at a church one night, and he got through preaching, and this particular woman that was in the church, she always gave every preacher who come in there problems. She was pretty much a criticizer of the church. She come up to him after the service that night, and of course that night he preached on the coming of Christ. And she brought her Bible out and said, "Well, I want to know right here, preacher, you preach tonight, and I want to know why the dead in Christ rise first." Well, he sat there and thought for a second and says, "Well, I know why. The Bible says why." She says, "No, it don't." He says, "Yes, it does." So, "Well, what's the reason?" "Because they're 6 foot further away." Y'all remember that? That's why the dead, and that's not biblical. That's a joke. All right, you have your Bibles. Go ahead and open up to Revelation 21. Revelation 21:22. We're going to look at one verse tonight. One verse. When you find your places, go ahead and stand. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22, the Word of God says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Father God, we love You. And we thank You so much for Your many, many blessings, Your mercy and Your grace. And and for your Lamb. Lord, we ask for your presence tonight. Lord, give us understanding of thy word and help us to eat of it. And Lord, just bless this time. Have me behind the cross and help your unworthy servant to preach. And Lord, may we be better for it in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation 21, we start out and John, in all amazement, starts to describe this beautiful city, the New Jerusalem, with all this stones and the gates and everything else. You know, he's unmeasured his everything. And then he gets to the center of the city and he stops. And I stopped when I got to this verse and he says, there's no temple. There's no church in this city. We go anywhere in the world, any block in this world, and you'll find a church. Matter of fact, you'll probably find 60-something in Clovis alone. But John goes out, and you know, the angel takes him up, and he starts to describe this wonderful place and everything, and everything's beautiful, and you know, you expect to find in the city of Jerusalem, just like before in the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament describes the city, and in the center of the city is the temple. You know, and God sets up the temple in a very precise manner. Everything's measured out perfect. The outer court, the inner court, and then the inner sanctuary has to be precisely set up. And then every cup, every curtain, every lampstand, everything has its exact measurement, its weight in gold, and everything's perfect. But then we find when John gets to heaven and God shows him the glory that there's no temple. What a wonderful thing. The title of tonight's message, though, there's still a need today for a church. There's still a need today for a temple. There's still a need today for a place to worship. The English word for a church is the translation of the Greek word ecclesia, which means called out, which we understand to be an assembly or congregation that has a very, very specific purpose. The significance of this term, as used in the New Testament, is twofold. It refers to those who are called out from among the nations of people for His name, who constitute the church or the body of Christ. In the sense, it is an organism. It also refers to those who are called out of a given community to carry out the principle and precepts of Christ found in the New Testament as a body of Christians. In the sense, it's an organization. The church as an organism is the mystical body of Christ, of which He is the living head and the regenerate believers are the members. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. The church thus is viewed as an organism. It's a people of His name, which God is now taking out from the Gentiles, according to Acts 15:14. This is the age of God's grace and calling, which has for its objective the formation of the body of Christ, which is to be the bride. It is important today that the local New Testament church be alive in Christ and continues to carry out the will of God. We are considered to be an organism if Christ is our head and supplies the needs of the body, which is to be alive. But here lies the problem. The world today says we do not need a church anymore. We go soul winning, we knock on doors, we introduce ourselves, we say, hey, we're here from High Plains Baptist Church. We want to invite you to church. We want to know if you're saved. Well, I'm saved. Well, where do you go to church at? I don't go to church. Well, why not? Well, I worship right here. Right where? Well, right here in my house. I can worship here in my house. Or you go and you talk to somebody, well, you know, I like to worship out in Mother Nature. I like to go out where God is. don't take offense to this, Brother John, but deer hunters and stuff like to go out and say, well, I worship out in my deer stand, or out when I'm fly fishing. That's where God's at. That's, you know, it's peaceful, it's quiet. I'll go out there and worship. They said, we don't need churches anymore. I can worship anywhere I want. That's what people tell us today. There's no need for a church. What an untrue statement. You know, until God calls us home, there's many needs for the church. I'd like to take just a quick look at a couple of them tonight. First, need for the church we'll find in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, now there were in that there was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, Asrenia, and Manian, which had been brought up from Herod, Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. We need churches because we need missionaries. We need churches because God says we need to send people out across the world to deliver the gospel unto the nations and to the world. We need churches to deliver the gospel to every creature, the Bible says. We need churches because Paul had to go out into the world so that others could be saved. We need to be like-minded, the Bible says, in faith, just like they were. The New Testament church started over in the book of Acts as an example. We are to follow that example and have missionaries. How can you send missionaries out of your house? Can you do that? Can you send missionaries out of your deer stand? Nope, can't do that. Can't send missionaries out of your house. You can't send missionaries out of your school or anywhere else. You can't send missionaries but out of a body of believers. We need churches to do that. We need churches to continue to send missionaries out so that souls can be won and the gospel of Jesus Christ can be spread around the world. And then we find that one of Christ's soft spots over in Matthew 19 and 13 through 15, it says to the children, it says, suffer the little children not, so they were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Look at children today. What kind of homes do they have? Look at our band kids and everything. A lot of them were the children. What kind of homes did they come from? You know what a church represents to them? First, a church represents to them the master's knee. It's a place where they can come in and sit on the master's knee and learn about little David and how he fought lions and bears, how he defeated a giant named Goliath. To learn about David, to learn about Daniel in the lion's den. It's where they can come and sit on the master's knee and learn about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. It's an honor he's come to learn and sit on the master's knee and hear the story about Jesus Christ and the Virgin's birth and how Christmas really started. They don't get that at home. Where do they get that at? In their local New Testament church. It's the same church, you know, that it's the master's knee where they come in and they learn the story of the crucifixion and what Easter really means. How that one really loved them enough to die on the cross for their sins. You know, this is not just a church for them. It's a place to come and sit with the Master. Just like Mary did and listen to Him speak to their hearts and to their souls. This is what the church provides to our children. It also is the Master's hands. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. Our kids can come in here. They have no fear. Not like their homes. When they come in from school, they don't know what they're going to get when they walk in their homes. They don't know how dad's going to feel that day. If he's going to be drunk or upset. Mom's going to be strung out. But they know what they're going to get when they walk into this church. They know what kind of love and touch they're going to get when they walk into God's house. They know what they're going to get. And that's the Master's touch today. The hands of God are going to get up, wrap around them and give them a hug and say, I love you. He's going to hand them a snack, though, that haven't had nothing to eat. What is your local church for? Is to take care of the children so they suffer not, God says. Bring them into the house so they can sit on the master's knee and hear the wonderful stories of Christ. Bring them into the God's house so He can wrap His loving arms around them and feel the loving touch. That's what the church is for. Send out missionaries, bring the children in so they can feel His love and hear the stories. And then one more thing for the children so they can come in and have a place to call home. A place to call home. Can you imagine having a place to go to you that you want to go? That's what a home is. A place that you desire to go to. These kids come running out on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights to jump on the van. Why? Because they want to come here. Why? Because this feels like home to them. Because there's people here that love them. There's lights on when they come in the door. The heat's on. There's a smiling face. There's love. Thomas Kincaid, most of y'all know him. It is said his story that when he was a kid, his parents were divorced early. His mom worked 18 hours a day. And when he come home from school, the lights would always be out at his house. He'd always come in and it would be dark and empty. So if you look at the Thomas Kincaid portraits and pictures, you always find him painted with lights on in every one of them. That's what kids want. They want a place where they can come in and feel at home. That's what the local church is for kids. It's a place where they can come in and sit on the master's knees and hear the wonderful story that the Bible has for them. He says, suffer them not and bring them in. That's our job. That's what the church is about. Bring them in and hear the wonderful stories of God, what God has done for them since the beginning of time. Because He knew their name before they were born too, just like He knew your name. Suffer them not. Place to call home, place to feel safe. Oh, then the church's job is also to preserve the Word of God. Matthew 5 and 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth passes, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Old Testament kings were told to write a copy of this law in Deuteronomy 17 and 18. You know, there are now over 50 different English versions of the Bible. And I Googled it today, and there is an estimated 41,000 Christian denominations across the world. It's the church's job to make sure the Word of God is preserved in its true form. God, throughout the ages, has always had scribes to take the Word of God and make sure that it was perfectly copied from parchment to parchment, king to king. It was His job to make sure that He wrote a copy of God's Word. And it was the scribes' job to repeatedly, over and over, again to write the Word of God. If they made more than four minute mistakes, they had to burn it. As a matter of fact, when they were writing the name Jehovah God, they would actually have to get a brand new pen, wash their clothes, and write His name. And then throw that pen away, get brand new clothes on, and start writing again before they were allowed to proceed on. That's how much delicate or time they put into writing His Word to make sure that we had a pure copy. It is now our job as a church to defend the Word of God and to make sure that it stays holy and pure, because the devil is trying everything he can to take away the jots and the tittles. He's trying every way he can. If you look at the NIV, you know what the most missing word is out of this? Blood. The most missing word out of the King James that's taken out of the NIV Bible, they take blood out more than anything. You take the blood out, what you got? Nothing. Without the blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the blood, Jesus Christ did nothing on Calvary. Without the blood, there's no victory. But that's what the devil wants. There's no victory. It's our job as a local New Testament church to learn the Word of God, to learn how to prove it's true, to learn the ins and the outs of it and everything else like that. So when somebody says, well, there's no difference, you can show them the difference. You can tell them how this is right and how this is true and how it's inerrant and infallible. It's our job as a church to protect this until God calls us home. First Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of the truth. It's the church's job to bear witness of the truth and show the world how we're supposed to act. It's the church's job to be the evidence of the risen Savior. It's the church's job to show the world how God's children are supposed to act. We're supposed to be different than the rest of the world because Jesus Christ lives inside of us. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to love the Lord and all of His people and desire to go to church. We're not supposed to be like everybody else and say, well, we don't need church. There's no reason for it. We're supposed to stand up and say, yes, there is a reason for church. Yes, there is a reason to go to Sunday school. Yes, there is a reason to go to prayer meetings. Yes, there is a reason to have a KJV Bible and have it out 7 days a week. And it's not a dust collector. It's the greatest book in the world. There's a reason. We're supposed to be living testimonies of that book and to show everybody else how to walk and to talk and to act. There's a reason for churches, and that's to show the world what Christ wanted us to show. That's Him in the fullness of body and spirit in everything that we do. Another thing that the church is supposed to do is over in Matthew 28:18-20. We all know this, and that's to evangelize the world. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And then he says it again over in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's the church's job to be just like Jesus Christ, and that's to go everywhere and proclaim God to be the Almighty, God the Creator of all the world. It's to go around and say there is a way, the truth, and the life. It's to go everywhere and say that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins. It is our job as a church to go out and evangelize Clovis, New Mexico. And when we get through with Clovis, New Mexico, we go to Firewall, Texaco, and Portales. It is our job to do just as Jesus Christ did. He had no home, the Bible says. Why? Because He moaned and He moaned and He moaned. He did not stop. Until the good Lord said, it's time for you to go. That's our job. It's to evangelize the world. It's our job to keep going. It's our job to send missionaries. It's our job to bring little children in to teach them about Christ. It's our job to teach others how to act. It's our job to preserve the Word of God. It's the church's job to do those things. The church's job to proclaim Him, to carry out the Great Commission. There is a need for the church, even though people say there's not. You find people today, they do home Bible studies instead of go to church. They do little social meetings instead of go to church. They do this and they do that instead of go to church. Super Bowl Sunday, they watch ball games instead of go to church. Wednesdays, they go play sports instead of go to church. Any reason they can find, they do instead of go to church. There's a reason for church. There's a good reason for church. One of the greatest reasons for the church is the staying hand of God upon this earth. You find in Revelations at the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4 something very special happens. God Almighty calls His children home, His church home, the bride home. You find over in Acts 2:1-4 the Holy Ghost comes in a mighty rushing wind. In Acts 2:41, about 3,000 souls were added. In Acts 2:47, it says, and the Lord added unto the church daily, as such were to be to save. That's the Holy Ghost working in the church. Then you find in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The world says we don't need a church. The world says we don't need to go to church. believe in God. We don't need a church to do this. We don't need a church to do that. I can worship anywhere. I can do anything. My Bible says, when the church is gone, grace is gone. My Bible says, when the church is gone, the Holy Spirit's gone. My Bible says, when the church is gone, it goes on to Revelation chapter 4. It says, John starts to cry because he starts saying that nobody's worthy. And a mighty angel in chapter 5 says, oh, there's one that's worthy, and that's the spotless Lamb. And then in chapter 6 of Revelation, the seals start popping off the book, and the literal hell starts breaking out on earth. Because why? There's no church. There's a need for a church. It's not only that it evangelizes the world. It's not only so little children can come in and be saved, and they can hear the wonderful stories of the Bible. They can understand what true love is. The age of grace, the Bible says. The church age is the age of grace. You understand why this things of the tribulation has not happened yet? Because the bride's still sitting here. Next time somebody tells you, we don't need church, you flip them over to Revelation chapter 4. Let me tell you something, Bubba. We need a church. Because all hell is going to break loose when the good Lord sounds the trumpet and calls us all home. They're going to wish they had a church. They need to understand that they need a church today. But they're not going to understand they need a church unless the people in the church understand that first. Do you understand that God needs you today? Do you understand that God needs you to be the evidence of a risen Savior today? Do you understand that God needs each of His soldiers to be armed and ready to go? Do you understand that He needs each of His soldiers to represent Him each and every day, to know His Word in and out? Do you understand that He needs you to truly be what a church is supposed to be? The servants of an Almighty God and Creator. And that's to love the little children that He said to go out and get. Well, the church needs to go out and get them and bring them in. Well, when He says to go out and evangelize the world, well, His church needs to get out there and evangelize the world. You know why the church, why the world doesn't say they don't need a church? Because the church hasn't been a church in a really long time. That's why they say they don't need a church. Because they don't understand what a church is supposed to be. We need to start being that church. The book of Acts tells us how to be a church. The book of Acts tells us what a church is supposed to do. It tells us we're supposed to send out missionaries. It tells us we're supposed to have elders, which are supposed to be helpers of the church. It tells us, you know, that they send out to have deacons. And then we go into the 1 Timothy, and he tells us that the pastor's qualifications, the deacon qualifications. The book of Romans sets up all the doctrinal statements. It tells us how a church is supposed to be run and everything we're supposed to believe in. The church doesn't know that anymore. Church doesn't read this anymore. The world says we don't need a church because the church isn't a church anymore. It's time that we start being a church. It's time we start going out and evangelizing the world. It's time we start going out and getting the children and bringing them in so they can sit on the Master's knee and learn about the Word of God. So they can rest in the Master's hand and feel protected and loved and cared for. It's time that we learn the Word of God so we know how to preserve it and keep it pure and holy and defend it until the very end. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, we need to learn the Word of God. And then the next time somebody tells you you don't need a church, you can turn over your Bible and say, listen here, Bubba, let me show you why you need a church. Because you don't have a church, you don't have the grace of God. But we need to be that church. Let's stand. Father God, we love You. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, Lord, that it is upon us right now. But we do understand that, Lord, that one day it's not going to be here. And Lord, we do thank You for those that are saved, Lord, that are going to be called home. Lord, it's for those that will be here. We pray for them. Help us, Lord, to be the church that we're supposed to be, Lord, and to go out and evangelize the world. To preach the gospel in every soul and every creature, in every nation. Lord, to bring the little children in. Lord, to do what we're supposed to do in accordance with the book of Acts. Lord, in accordance with the whole counsel of God. Help us, Lord, to become a light into this old dark world, that the world would understand that it truly needs a church before it's too late. Have your will and your way. Amen. The altar's open. Maybe tonight you're not saved. Maybe you never had the understanding in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Maybe you don't know that for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. And that God commended His love towards us, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you haven't been doing your part to fill the Great Commission. It's never too late to start. We need to be that church when we can be. I know each and every one of us love God.